Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those are circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John has been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And live from the Skyline Studios here in downtown Chicago, Dave Schwann joins us. Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, and belated Happy New Year to you, David.
Same to you, sir. Back in 1861, the flush toilet was The flush toilet was patented by Mr. Thomas Crapper.
Where do you think we get the name?
That's right. And that toilet flush, which is not easy to find, was from All in the Family.
Yeah.
Because that was the first TV flush on television.
Yeah, it was. And I think it was on the first episode.
Now, 1870, a donkey was first used as a symbol of the Democratic Party. It was done in Harper's Weekly. So that's kind of how that symbol began, all the way back in 1870.
Yeah, the GOP has had, what, an elephant?
Yes.
For
exactly.
Many years.
Absolutely.
As long as I can remember.
And
I can't remember back to 1870.
No,
I'm not that old.
You weren't reporting back then. 1906, two things happened here. The first time the Dow Jones closed above 100.
Above 100.
Above 100, right? 1906, also the first radio set was advertised by Telemico for $7.50. In Scientific American, it claimed to receive signals up to 1 mile.
Wow.
1 mile. Far cry from the 50,000 watts here.
Yes.
Even though this year's the 100th anniversary of radio, people were still experimenting with it. It was like the first commercial radio broadcast was in 1920.
Sure. And yeah. They were experimenting with television long before it became...
Decades.
Yeah, no, virtually almost 20 years. I'll throw a name out to you, Dave, and you're probably aware of this name, Philo Farnsworth.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Farnsworth was actually demonstrated a very, very primitive, basic form of television to investors, his investors that put up the money for his research before David Sarnoff and NBC got involved.
1939, Betty White did a broadcast from the World's Fair in, I believe it was in New York.
That was the big... 1939 was the big debut
of
TV.
And Betty was one of the people on the television.
Oh, you're giving me chills.
Which is crazy,
isn't it? You're giving me chills.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. 1914, Henry Ford introduces an assembly line for Model T Fords, obviously something that set the pace for generations.
Well, it changed industry.
Manufacturing.
It didn't just change the auto industry.
That's
it changed industry.
In general, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, 1915, the House of Representatives rejected a proposal to give women the right to vote. You think about that was actually in the last century that women couldn't vote.
Oh, right.
Right? I mean, that just, it almost seems unreal to me. Like, have I ever told my kids that yeah, a little over 100 years ago, women couldn't vote?
Yep.
They'd be flabbergasted.
There was a lot of the demonstrating that led up to the women finally getting the right to vote really started in the 19th century.
It did.
All that long after the Civil War, Dave.
Yeah, it was like 70 years.
Yeah.
Before
they finally were able to do so.
But, now this is a tough one. 1920, the 18th Amendment prohibition goes into effect. So that was it was this time back in 1920. And that really established a lot of different companies. It killed a lot of brewers and liquor companies, but they switched what they were making to soda pop.
Right. They switched to waters or whatever. Some sort of a carbonated water.
But right. Somebody was still making booze. Right.
I don't remember the politician's name that certainly voted for prohibition and made the prediction that never again, for Congress to overturn what we have just done will never, ever happen. And he used some word verbiage to that effect. Well.
Yeah, hello.
13 years later.
That's right. That's absolutely right. 1948, Ted Mack's original amateur hour began. And that's kind of what the precursor was to the Star Searches, the American Idols.
Oh, yeah. The Amateur
Voice.
Hour?
Yeah. America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent? Yeah.
Because it was radio and then television.
Yeah, Major Bose was the guy before Ted Mack. But I don't know where this deal was. I remember watching the Ted Mack Amateur Hour in its waning days.
Oh.
And he had some sort of a wheel on his desk.
Okay.
And he would spin it, and he would just say, round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
And that's from that?
And it had nothing to do with the show.
But I know that phrase. Mm-hmm. That's a very familiar phrase.
Right, right. He would spin the wheel at the start of the program.
That's crazy.
And then that was the end of it.
Yeah, wow. But a familiar phrase, and never knowing where it comes from.
Right.
Yeah. In 1957, this month, Wham-O Company produced the first Frisbee. Let's take a listen to a classic commercial.
What's the Frisbee? A Frisbee's fun. It's a flying saucer that you command. Watch.
This is the way to curve a Frisbee.
This is the way to curve a Frisbee.
Catch a Frisbee.
Catch a Frisbee. Skip a Frisbee.
Skip a Frisbee. This is the way to hold a Frisbee.
This is the way to boomerang it.
Every Monday morning.
Afternoon and evening. Frisbee's a game of keep away.
Frisbee's a game of keep away. It lifts like a plane.
Or a flying saucer.
And it twirls around like a gyroscope. Frisbee's the way to lots of fun at the park or beach or picnic. For every one of the family.
For every one of the family.
Frisbees are sold everywhere under $1 by
Wham-O.
1964, the Beatles first appeared on the Billboard charts with what song? What do you think? 1964.
I think it was All My Loving.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, was I Want to Hold Your Hand? Okay, All My Loving was the first one they did on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is coming up as well. We'll be talking about this soon enough. Now, you mentioned All in the Family. So 1971 premiered on CBS, All in the Family. And it aired, you said you remember the first episode, right?
Yes.
So it started with a warning.
It
on
did?
The screen that scrolled.
Yep.
And it said, the program you are about to see is All in the Family. And by the way, the show was like 4 years in the making. It was a pilot for ABC Those Were the Days.
There were different names.
Till Death Do Us Part.
Yeah.
Archie and Edith were the constant. But there were different kids, writers, all that other stuff.
Before Norman Lear finalized everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
The program you are about to see is All in the Family. It seeks to throw a humorous spotlight on our frailties, our prejudices, and our concerns. By making them a source of laughter, we hope to show in a mature fashion just how absurd they are. And the last was history.
And that ran not just the first episode, but for two or three episodes
into the
season. And then people finally knew what was going on, and then they dropped the disclaimer and then just went into the show. But I can tell you that was... The first 10 minutes of the dialogue and the action between Archie, Edith, Rob Reiner, Sally Struthers, it got everybody's attention.
It did. Till Death Do Us Part was the British name of the show. Okay. Justice for All and Those Were the Days were the pilots for that. And it was one of the series that spun off a ton of other television shows, five of them specifically, plus two additional spinoffs. So
Archie
Maude,
Bunker's Place.
Well, Maude was first.
Maude, okay.
Which spun off Good Times.
Ah.
The Jeffersons, which spun off Checking In, which was a short-lived sitcom with Merle Gibbs.
Yeah.
Archie Bunker's Place, as you said. Gloria.
Gloria had one, on her. Yes.
And then 10 years after it went off the air, even more than that, Archie Bunker's Place did, there was a show called 704 Hauser Street.
I remember that
show. A black family that moved into there with John Amos.
Yeah, so I remember that show.
Yeah. 72, Sanford and Son premiered. 73 was the 440th and final showing of Bonanza. Think about that.
I watched Bonanza.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
A classic, absolutely. 73, also this month marks the first episode of Schoolhouse Rock. Which is a little more my era, but I'm just a Bill. Oh, the classic stuff.
You're just a kid.
I'm just a kid. 1974, Happy Days premiered on ABC.
That was right in the middle of what was then called 50s nostalgia.
Yeah, and it wasn't too long after the 50s. It was 12, 13 years. Grease was on Broadway.
Right. Grease was big, yes.
But the music really led the way in all this, right?
And now the 80s.
And now the 80s. That's exactly right.
And the 90s.
Oh, so right in the middle of the 90s, Dave.
Oh,
what's nostalgic now?
Yeah,
exactly. All right, so the Blizzard of 79, the anniversary is this week, 41st anniversary. Now, I know you were... I was actually here for the Blizzard of 67, too, but I was 4 months, 5 months old. So I don't remember much of what happened at that time, but I do remember, I was 12, I do remember the blizzard of 79, and after we were done shoveling, I could walk up to my garage roof.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was, right?
67, you could do that too.
Yeah. But were you reporting? Were you working then?
It was my first job in radio.
Oh, that's cool.
Just started.
Where were you?
It was in Hammond, WJOB.
Okay.
And the snow, I remember the day the snowstorm began. Actually, I was supposed to come into Chicago. We were going to go to a show of some sort.
Here. Okay.
And the snow was such that, you know, we didn't just forget it.
Sure.
And so not long after that, the phone rang, the landline phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Rang and said, Dave, we need you to come in. I think that was a Saturday. And I did not leave the inside of the radio station until Monday morning.
You probably couldn't.
And you couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't at that point.
And I went out to see my car. Couldn't get into the car. You know, it was drifted around. And we were able to shovel around, as everybody had
to do.
There was a parking lot outside the station. And, it was not only, that was just the beginning, really, because the removal of the snow and everything else that came, that was a rough winter.
The political damage it caused.
Here in Chicago, but really everywhere else, because that was, you know, that after 1967, that was far and away the biggest one. But look what happened here in Chicago as a result.
In 79, the big newscast here in town was the 10 o'clock news with Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's what you were watching this entire time. And here's a little of Bill Curtis reporting on the blizzard.
5 days ago, the city of Chicago and its environs were hit with one of nature's little surprises, a major snowstorm. A devastating blizzard of winter that virtually strangled the city and left its citizens struggling to cope in over 20 inches of snow. Only once before in the city's modern history had such an accumulation blasted the area. That was 1967. Now as then, and try as hard as it could, the city could barely keep its lifelines open. Side streets still unpassable. Public transportation snarled, expressways buried, O'Hare Airport closed for one of the few times in its history. This is turning out to be Chicago's winter of discontent, all right. With so much snow on streets and expressways, we're wondering where to put it as we struggle to cope.
Now, 1981, Hill Street Blues premiered on NBC, and TV Guide ranked it in its top 10 of greatest dramas of all time. We always thought it took place in Chicago, and even though some of the scenes were... Absolutely, but even the squad cars, but it said Metro Police. They never defined Chicago.
No.
But you knew, especially if you were a Chicagoan, that
the
show was
drawn here. Nor did they ever really mention a city.
They never did.
Yeah.
Never did. 1984, Madonna first sung Holiday on American Bandstand. It was her first live appearance on regular TV. 1993, David Letterman announced his show was moving from NBC to CBS. That was pretty ballsy and pretty groundbreaking for him.
And it was also the subject of a cover story on Time magazine.
1999, Michael Jordan announced his retirement from the Chicago Bulls. That was devastating.
Yeah.
And that's the last time I really enjoyed basketball here in Chicago. Thank you, Dave.
My, how things have changed.
That's right. Have a great weekend, Dave.
You too, Dave.